Does everybody have a sheet? A handout? Well, welcome back. It seems like it's been a long time. It has been a long time. It doesn't seem like it's been a long time. It has been a long time since we've gotten together in here and gotten back together with our huddle groups. And Kenny said he wasn't going to steal my thunder. I wish he had, because that just lets me know that it's part of what we do. TGIM. Thank God it's Monday, and we can look into God's Word and study it. It just blesses me. Yesterday I ran across Big D, Derek, over there, and he said, "Hey, tomorrow night, TGIM." And that just infused me. It really did. It just opened my eyes and just got me excited about tonight. You know, I've opened all the Christmas presents. I tricked Santa Claus again. I'm getting good at that. I tell you, the older I get, the better I get at that. So we had really an extra long Christmas break, if you think about it. Because of the snow, it kind of added to it, and we had a little bit more time. And actually, I was, you know, kind of thinking, we're near the end of the Job study. We only have, the way I look at it, 5 more lessons to go. And 11 chapters, so It's we're over halfway through the journey, so that's a good thing, and it's been a blessing to me, this study. I was wondering, how many of you watched the national championship game last Monday night between Alabama and, okay, I see a few hands, whether you want to raise them or not. Yeah, you can throw your hand up, you know, because what I'm wondering, if any of you were praying for the snow so you could, you know, because we were supposed to meet last Monday night, and we were supposed to have lecture time last Monday night and huddle time. Yeah, just wondering, you know, not trying to get any confession time going, but, you know, it was a lot of football we've had going on here in the last probably 6 weeks. We've missed one another. And it was a championship game last Monday night between two teams, Alabama and Clemson. Who watched the whole game? Raise your hand. Who watched the whole game? One, two, three. Not very many. I have to confess, I started watching the game, but at halftime, oh, I knew you watched the whole game. You probably sit up afterwards and watched all the, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to admit, I fell asleep at halftime and was slobbering all over myself. It was good. It was one of those good sleeps. I was just slobbering all over myself, and all of a sudden, the phone rings. And I jump up and I look, and it's past 12:30. Well, you know, I'm at that stage now. When the phone rings at 12:30, it can't be good. It's just not good. So I answer the phone. Hello? It was my daughter. Dad, did you see that game? And she's just yelling in my ear. And I said, no, Marcy, I didn't see the game. I said, as you get older, you just tend to go on to bed and you just fall asleep. So. Yeah, so I said I missed it. Well, she was giving me a kind of a brief recap. But the reason I mentioned the game, I kind of really wanted to tie the game into what we're looking at tonight with chapter 29, 30, and 31 before we get started. Those of you that raised your hand as you watched all the game, at the final play, how much time is on the clock when Clemson runs their final play? I've seen the replay. Is it 1 second? 1 second. As Kenny gets. Well, I'm going to tell on the brother. He fell asleep, too. He didn't know either. He won't know help to me. I thought the brother would have helped me out. The end of the play. Oh, to kick the ball is 1 second to go? Okay, so it didn't end there right at the end. Okay, whatever the time was, 6 seconds, 1 second. Here's what I was kind of going to get at. We're going to look at tonight a past, a present, and a future with these three chapters with Job. The past in that game, up to that final 6 seconds or that 1 second, everything that had happened to in that game led up to that final time with that final 6 seconds to go when that play was called, and whatever happened during that present play, pretty much that present time was going to pretty much determine what happened for the future of one of those teams, whether they would be called national champions or not from then on. And so we know which one is called national champion from now on, but, you know, that past of that game, the present during that game, those 4 quarters before that 6 seconds had led up to what's going to happen now. During those 6 seconds, what happened ended up what happens for the future for that college team, that connection forever that there will be national champions. That's kind of what we're going to look at tonight with Job. His past in chapter 29, his present in chapter 30, and his future when you look at chapter 31. So all that's going to tie together really for one thing, for God's name's sake. And I kind of wanted to remind, too, with that game, you know, for his name's sake, that coach that won that championship game gave glory to the Lord. All for his name's sake. That's what it's always about. It's all about God's name's sake. So that's the title tonight, for his name's sake, a connection, past, present, and future. I love the quote right here. We've been studying Job, and who is the one after Job? Is it God according to Job? No. Who is it? I love this quote right here. The devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. God knows your sin, but calls you by your name. Ricardo Sanchez. I just thought that was a good quote as far as what we're looking at here with Job. Job's life, so what we're going to look at is the past, the present, the future, and it's all for God's name's sake. The same it is with any of our lives or with anybody's life. Job's past connection, we'll kind of start off. Job looks back on his past life, the months gone by that he wished he'd go back to. My brother Paul Ford, he's always kind of shooting me these emails, and y'all know I like to kind of tie in a song with what's going on. So Paul sent me this song. He sent me a couple songs. I'm going to use them both tonight, but I'm going to give him the credit. It wasn't me. It was him. He gave me this song by Chicago that ties into this past thing that Job is doing. The song by Chicago is Old Days. You remember the song? Old Days. I'm not going to sing it. Good Times I Remember. And if you go on and if you know the song, it goes, you know, that's what Job is about here in this past. He's remembering those old days and the good times he remembered. And with Job's old days, he says, God watched over me. The Almighty was with me. God's friendly counsel was always over my house. His intimate friendship I had all the time. God's lamp and his light shone around me constantly. Those days when people sought counsel, they sought Job. I thought, you know, in Job's days, Job was such a man in those past days, you could take WWJD back to Job. What would Job do? I'm serious. That's the man Job was in the past. That's what he's looking back at. You know, what would Job do in this situation? And so you look at Job, you have to look at Job's past and understand Job was, as we read and you studied chapter 29, Job was an amazing man. He was an amazing man. He helped the widows. He helped the fatherless. He clothed the poor. He fed the hungry. He protected the victims who were victims of the wicked. He was a blessing to many. And when Job spoke, people listened. You know, Job's thinking about all this. And Job, as a man, had a good name in the past. He saw his name as being a good name. Proverbs 22:1 says about a name. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. So the name that Job had in this past that he's reflecting back on was really a great thing to have. It was better than the riches he had. You may say, wait a minute. When I look back at my past, I don't really see an amazing man or an amazing woman. I don't see that my name really was a good name. You know what I say about that? That's perfectly okay when you look at the past like that. Because the fact of it is, it's not about my name. It's not about your name. It's about God's name. As good a name as the amazing man Job had, it's ultimately about God's name for his name's sake, not ours. And so in Job's life and in every life, the Almighty God touches that he decides to touch. He seeks to bring glory to his name. He wants his name to get. Think about Psalm 23. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for Herb's name's sake, for Gail's name's sake, for his name's sake. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Don't miss that. Don't miss what you figure your name was in the past. If God has changed you, you say hallelujah. Because you bring his name glory. It's not about your name. It's not about my name. It's not even about this amazing man, Job's name. It's about God's name and his namesake. He had worked and changed. So that's really the kind of the application there for that first, the past chapter 29 of Job's life. Praise God for your connection to the past. He worked in your life. He worked in my life. He had worked in Job's life to bring glory to His name. Let's look at the present. Let's look at the second part. Job, a present connection. You did it again, my brother Paul. My brother Paul, he shot me that email, had another song on it right here. I love this. We're going from Chicago. Somebody say, who is Chicago? Surely everybody knows Chicago. I heard about Chicago. But we're going to go to one that maybe everybody, maybe somebody don't know this one. Louis Armstrong. That's the song he sent me for this one, and it's a perfect one. He sent me the song by Louis Armstrong. I pulled it up and played it, and it was good stuff, too. I hadn't heard old Sax sing in a long time, Paul. I appreciate you giving me that one. This is a song, and I sure can't do like that. I should have had that tape tonight. We play it up here. The song was, Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. What a great song. That's what chapter 30 is talking about. We're seeing Job share the trouble. He's under attack. He's just had those good old days, really. But now in chapter 30, he's under attack. Job speaks of a present life of nothing but trouble and agony and the days of his days of being. Now, he didn't even mention this, but we know all the condemnation his friends had given. They done condemned him day in and day out. He talks about people mocking him. He talks about people, vile people, spitting in his face. Now, that's a troubled day. Matter of fact, spit in my face would be a troubled day probably to that other person. We're going to get to know one another. Now, it is what it is. It's not good when you listen to what Job said. Days of hoping for good only to have evil and darkness come into his life. Days when his heart is in constant turmoil. Days when he can find no rest because the gnawing pain of his body, his bones and his skin just are aching and falling off, that he can find no rest. And so we listen to the pain that Job says he's in all these situations. Here's a question for you tonight. Really my first question. Remember, New Year hadn't changed me. Not going to ask trick questions. All pain and suffering we hear Job talking about there, what do you think Job's greatest pain is? Remember where we're at, chapter 30. What do you think Job's greatest pain is? And if you're kind of wondering, scared to answer, I'll give you a couple of verses, verses 20, verses 21. If you got your Bibles, got them open there. What's Job's greatest pain? All these other things are pains. They're real. He's not making them up. They're real. What's his greatest pain? I'm listening.
Whoa.
Bingo. That's exactly it. I cry out, but you do not answer me. And then verse 21 is really, you, speaking of God, have become cruel to me. Have you ever thought about God being cruel to you? Possibly. But the fact of, we know that's not the truth. We know what's going on behind the scenes. Here's the point. We need to remember that Job's present, we're talking about present suffering here now, his present suffering, his trouble, his affliction, his cruelty comes from the adversary. The adversary, Satan, is all in. He is all in with the suffering, the pain, the trouble, and the cruelty that Job is experiencing because he wants God's servant to do what? He wants him to curse God. He wants him to curse God's name. So he is all in. Satan is all in this situation, in his present suffering. Now, I want to go back to that song. Remember that song? What was the name of that song I just told you in this section from Louis Armstrong? Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Do you know the next two words that Louis Armstrong sings in that song? But Jesus. Sing it, Charles. Let me put the mic up. But Jesus. But Jesus. God knows our suffering. God knows the pain we've been in and we're in. Past, present, it doesn't matter. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen but Jesus. Jesus understands. He suffered just like any of us. And so as Job or we may not understand why we're suffering, may not understand the reason for our present suffering, we can be certain of one thing. What is it? To bring glory to His name. Listen to this verse right here. Psalm 121:8. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now, that would be the present, and forevermore for His name's sake. That's that verse. In the present, in the future, and the past, He's going to be with you in the coming and the going for His name's sake, to bring Him glory. Let's look at the final part tonight. Section 3. We looked at the past, Job. We've looked at the present for Job. Now let's look at the future. The future connection of Job and his suffering. Job's future connection. Job's final discourse here, or his final speech. This is going to be really the last time we really hear Job's speech. There'll be a few more things he says, but this is kind of like a conclusion to the speeches he's had. How do you sum up 31 as far as when you look at it as a speech for Job? What would you call it? Closing argument? I like that, because it's kind of like a court thing. That's good. I like that. Closing argument. I'm going to hear what you got to say before I tell you what I got to say. I'm listening. I like that, Kenny. Closing argument. Because it is a closing argument. He's telling what he's done. Your story, your life story about what you have done in your life and what God has done in your life, what do we call that? What is that? It is our, testimony. Exactly right, Randy. It is our testimony. That's what I see. This closing argument, this closing speech for Job is his testimony about his life and how he sought to live out his life before God. I mean, when you read it, it's a testimony about what he's done and how he's done it. Job reflects on how he treated others. Job realizes, if you look at verse 15 and 31, that we're all created by the One. God created us all. Job, just because he had all this stuff and he was one that everybody's ears wanted to hear, he realized he was really no better than the servant that he had in his house and how he treated him. So we understand that Job realized he wasn't better than anybody else. Job lived out his life in a way that he felt, hey, my present situation, because of the way I live out, should be much better. I should be living out a future life that's better than the life I'm living now because of the life that he had lived. When you look back at what had happened. Verse 5, Job trusted and believed that Yahweh had seen his steps and his ways. He had seen the life Job had lived. He says it right there in verse 5. Has he not seen my steps? Has he not watched my ways? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Not a trick question. It's in the answers there. What had God seen Job make a covenant with? It's in 31. What had God seen Job make a covenant with? His eyes. His eyes. His eyes. Does that soak in with any of y'all? Is anybody in here blind? I don't think so. We all see. What an awesome example God's Word gives us about this man, Job. Don't miss that right there. An awesome example about the way he honored God. He honored God with his eyes. To honor God with your eyes or with my eyes is to honor God with your life or my life. It's just that plain and simple. That's what Job was saying. You kind of go off to the point about, him not looking at women, but he was honoring God with his eyes. And how will my eyes respond to what I see? It's looking to the future. When my eyes see something, I'm thinking, I'm thinking future. I may be thinking a little present, but I'm also thinking future. What's going on in the future? Job's covenant with his eyes really brought light into his life. over the darkness that Satan wanted to bring into his life. What a future we have with our eyes when we make a covenant with them to God. Now, I don't want you to hear what I've been saying about our eyes and covenant. I want you to hear what God's word says, what Jesus said. Luke chapter 11, listen to this. Remember where we're at, and we're talking about our eyes and the covenant made. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But, Jesus went on, but when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Job made a covenant with his eyes. Don't miss that point tonight. That's an awesome example from this man of Job that is suffering to the hilt that he had made a covenant with God with his eyes, that the light of God would live in him. And when you read that chapter 31 and you see his testimony, it's evident that the light of God lived in this man, Job. And so he goes on, verse 33. Job had tried to hide his sins. Right or wrong? Excuse me? Wrong. I like it. Call me out. Just speak right. Wrong. Job had not tried to hide his sins. What another great example this man, this amazing man, gives us. He gave a covenant with his eyes to God, and we also see right here that it says he did not try to hide his transgressions from the Lord. The very thing most of humanity does. Remember in our study of Genesis, what did Adam and Eve do after they sinned? They hid. They covered themselves up. They were trying to hide sin. It's what humanity. But Job's example is, I confess my sin. Right there now, Job's not saying, you know, we got that question, was Job being righteous in this chapter or not being right? Right there you see Job saying, I didn't try to hide my sin, I confess my sins. What a great example to us that we would be that way. That the one who sees our steps, the one who sees our ways, we confess before him our sins. Don't try to hide anything. And you see what Job does. Job cries out to God for answers. He desires relief. He wants some future relief. I'm not getting none now. I need some future relief from this trouble. Verse 35 in chapter 31, Job says, oh, that the Almighty would answer me. You ever been there? Probably most of us in here have been there one time or another. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me. As Job, we all want our Heavenly Father to answer us. In the midst of trouble, certainly, and in the midst of suffering. I got a third song. This one didn't come from old Paul Ford. Kind of made him mad. He was getting free to work with. I had to work on this my own. Ralph Stanley's got a song. The name of it? Old Job. There's a verse in that song that says, when it's all over, and this song that Stanley's singing is sung from Job's perspective. Job's the one singing. It says in that verse, when it's all over, there's a home in the sky. That's what Job said. There's the future connection that Job had. Job realized there's a future in the sky, and it's for his name's sake. It's for his name's sake. God has given every believer an answer. It's his promise. Jesus is our future connection. He's what connects us to the past, to the present, to the future. I wanted to close tonight, really, with Psalm 143. Psalm 143 is a psalm by David. And David, during this psalm, he's praying for deliverance. You think Job needs some deliverance? Yeah. When I read this psalm, I thought, man, that is Job all over that psalm, 143. This is a part of the psalm. I'm going to go ahead and share it with you tonight because it's what we've been focusing on tonight. For his name's sake. Listen to the part of this psalm. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life in your righteousness for your name's sake. Let me read this psalm to you. It's from the Message. You can turn, you can look at your Bible, 143. It's going to be a little different unless you've got the Message, what I'm reading. So if you just want to listen, that'll be fine. Listen to this prayer of mine, Yahweh. Pay attention to what I'm asking. Answer me. I like this part right here. You're famous for your answers. Do what's right for me. What are some of God's famous answers? I can tell you two right now. God's faithfulness and his righteousness. That's two of God's famous answers. The psalmist goes on to say, but don't, please don't, haul me into your court. Not a person alive would be acquitted there. None of us, not one of us, living is righteous. The enemy hunted me down. He kicked me. He stomped me within an inch of my life. He put me in a black hole. Buried me like a corpse in the dungeon. I sat there in despair, my spirit draining away, my heart heavy like lead. I remembered the old days. I tell you, this psalm has Job all over it. I remembered the old days, went over all you've done, pondered the ways you worked, stretched out my hands to you as thirst for you as the desert thirst for rain. Hurry with your answer, Yahweh. I'm nearly at the end of my rope. Don't turn away. Don't ignore me. That would be certain death. If you wake me each morning with the sound of your loving voice, I'll go to sleep each night trusting in you. Point out the road I must travel. I'm all ears. All ears and eyes before you. Save me from my enemies, Yahweh. You're my only hope. Teach me how to live to please you, because you're my God. Lead me by your blessed spirit into clear, level pasture lands. And here's that verse I read before I started. For your name's sake, O Lord, and in your righteousness, and it says here, get me out of trouble. Satan has got Job in a bunch of trouble, but he cannot take his life. Last part of this psalm. In your great love, vanquish my enemies. Make a clean sweep of those who harass me. Don't miss this right here. And why? Because I'm your servant. Hallelujah. For his name's sake. Let's close our prayer. Holy and mighty God. Holy and mighty God. It is for your name's sake, not ours. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of joy, in the midst of laughter, in the midst of all things, Father, it is for your name's sake. Glory be unto you.